Welcome to the Federal Society's Practice Group podcast. The following podcast, hosted by the Federal Society's Criminal Law and Procedure Practice Group, was recorded on Wednesday, December 14, 2016, during a live Courthouse Steps telephone conference call held exclusively for Federalist Society members.
Welcome to the Federal Society's telephone conference call. This afternoon, we will be discussing the Supreme Court's recent decision in Salmon v. United States. My name is Nate Kazmarek. I'm the Deputy Director of Practice Groups at the Federal Society. As always, please note that all expressions of opinion are those of the expert on today's call. Today, we welcome our expert, Todd Bronstein, who is the Global Head of Legal Investigations at Willis Towers Watson. Todd will get us started with opening remarks. After opening remarks, we will go to Q&A. So please be thinking of questions. Thank you for speaking with us, Todd. The floor is yours.
Thanks very much, Nate. In 2014, the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit roiled the state of insider trading law with a decision called United States versus Newman. Newman held that a gift of insider information to a friend or family member of the corporate insider was not necessarily enough to support a conviction for insider trading if the family member or friend traded on the tip subsequently. The Second Circuit held that you need something more, in particular money, or the potential for money, or at least that was what the Second Circuit suggested. The effects of Newman were to make it much harder to prosecute tippers of confidential information and the tippies who trade on it. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York was forced to dismiss already entered convictions or pending cases against about a dozen defendants in insider trading cases. Newman had the potential to be a potential landmark in insider trading law, although the Supreme Court declined to review Newman, it seemed inevitable that the issue would eventually percolate up to the court. Last week, the Supreme Court did rule on the issue raised by Newman in a case called Salmon versus United States. In Salmon, the court unanimously took a more prosecution-friendly interpretation of the personal benefit rule for insider trading. It held that gifts of insider information to a trading friend or relative can indeed be enough, even if the insider got nothing in return for the gift. The Supreme Court specifically repudiated Newman's holding on this point, and it thereby ended the short-lived Newman era and paved the way for more vigorous prosecution of tippers and tippies in SDNY and other jurisdictions of the Second Circuit. The facts of Salmon were relatively straightforward. They revolved around a Citigroup banker named Maher Kara, who provided a series of tips to his older brother, Michael, with whom he was particularly close. Michael then passed the information along to Salmon, the petitioner, who was an extended family member, and both Michael and Salmon traded on the information. At trial, there was no evidence of pecuniary benefit for the insider, Maher. Initially, Maher gave the inside information to get his brother's help in understanding the industry that he was working in, the healthcare industry, and later to gave the information to his brother to help with their father's healthcare. Later, Michael began badgering Maher, and Maher gave the information to his brother just to get him off his back. On one occasion, which the Supreme Court found notable, Michael was ill and asked Maher for a favor. Maher offered him money, and Michael said no, he wanted information instead, which Maher provided to him. Salmon, the petitioner in the Supreme Court, knew about the gifts of information and traded on them and made substantial profits as a result. He lost a trial, lost his appeal to the Ninth Circuit, which rejected his Newman-based argument, and then petitioned successfully for certiorari. In the opinion last week, the court held that the issue in Salmon was both narrow and easy to resolve. Justice Alito's opinion is brief and presents the issue as a straightforward application of the court's last case addressing tippee liability, which is a case called Dirks versus SEC from 1983. Under Dirks, the liability of a person trading on a stock tip is entirely derivative of the liability of the tipper, and the liability of the tipper depends on whether he's breached a fiduciary duty, and whether the tipper breached a fiduciary duty depends on whether he received a personal benefit from the disclosure. Dirks provided a couple of examples of what that personal benefit might be, including a pecuniary gain, a reputational benefit, and, quote, a gift of confidential information to a trading relative or friend, unquote. The Dirks court went on to say that giving a tip that is then traded on resembles trading by the insider himself, followed by a gift of the profits to the recipient. In Salmon, Justice Alito held that Dirks' language about gifts resolved the case. The court repeatedly pointed to Dirks' suggestion that a gift of information is functionally equivalent to trading by the insider himself, followed by a gift of profits. And since an insider clearly benefits from trading and then giving, he shouldn't be allowed to achieve the same result by giving and letting the relative or the friend do the trading. The court specifically rejected the Newman test, as I mentioned earlier. It held that when an insider gives information to family and friends, there is no requirement that he receive something of a, quote, pecuniary or similarly valuable nature, unquote, in return. And to the extent that Newman held otherwise, it was wrongly decided. The court had no sympathy for Salmon's arguments to the contrary. Salmon had attempted to compare this case to other recent federal fraud cases in the Supreme Court. He argued that cases like Skilling versus United States hold that a fraud isn't consummated unless the defendant obtains money or property, which Salmon did not do in this case. And to address that argument, the court returned again to its observation that a gift of information resembles trading by the insider followed by a gift of profits, and nothing about the Skilling case undermines that particular point. The court also rejected Salmon's vagueness challenge to the gift-giving standard, and in fact, quite the contrary. It said that the gift-giving standard is indeed a simple and clear guiding principle. There may be close cases at the margins, but that doesn't create constitutional problems for the insider trading statute. The court also refused to apply the rule of lenity and held that the case was in the heartland of Dirk's rule on gifts. The court did leave open a couple of issues that could well be the subject of future litigation. In particular, the court's holding only applies to gifts to family and friends. The court didn't give any guidance on how to determine whether a tippee qualifies as a friend or as a mere acquaintance or business associate. Nor did it say whether the standard for a mere acquaintance or business associate is any different from that of a family or friend. In other words, it remains unclear whether a gift of information to an acquaintance or business associate is enough, or whether something like the Newman requirement of a pecuniary or other benefit is still in play. The government had proposed a rule that would have eliminated any distinction among family, friends, and acquaintances, and the government invited the court to focus really on whether the tipper made the disclosure for corporate reasons or non-corporate reasons. But the court didn't need to go that far to decide the case, and so it didn't. Going forward, in cases that do involve tips to acquaintances, Justice Alito's opinion includes language that both the government and defendants will point to. On the one hand, the opinion repeatedly emphasizes that an insider tip is essentially the same as a trade by the insider himself along with a gift of profits. And there's a decent argument that the logic of this analogy applies equally to all gifts of information, no matter the recipient. On the other hand, the opinion did expressly reaffirm the existence of the personal benefit standard, and the personal benefit to tipping an acquaintance is much less obvious than it is for a family member or close friend. Additionally, Justice Alito characterized the Salmon opinion as a, quote, narrow one, and that will, of course, limit attempts to extend its logic outside the friends and family context. And finally, Justice Alito acknowledged that there were difficult cases implicated by the Dirks rule on gifts, which certainly leaves the door open for a different standard in the acquaintance context. We'll, of course, have to await one of those more difficult cases to understand the precise contours of the personal benefit rule. So in summary, the core holding of Newman is now gone, unanimously rejected by the court. And with Salmon, the court has essentially returned the personal benefit requirement to where it was before 2014 and removed a roadblock for prosecutors who are targeting insider trading by relatives and friends of corporate insiders. At this point, I'd certainly be happy to take any questions you may have.
Okay, very good, Todd. Let's do that. In a moment, you'll hear a prompt indicating that the floor mode has been turned on. After that, to request the floor, please enter star, then the pound sign on your telephone keypad. When we get to your request, you will hear a prompt, and then you may ask your question. We will answer questions in the order in which they are received. Again, to ask a question, please enter star, then the pound sign on your telephone keypad. While we're waiting for questions, a programming note for tomorrow. Our next teleform will be tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. That call will discuss the future of labor law under the new administration. We will have David Fortney, who is the co-founder of Fortney & Scott, Brent Guerin, who is the Deputy General Counsel for Services Employees International Union Local 32BJ, and also John Irving, who is of counsel for Kirkland and Ellis. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please enter star, then the pound sign. Todd, it doesn't appear that we have any questions at this time. I think you had noted in our first teleform on this case that during oral argument, a lot of Salmon's counsel's arguments would have been potentially appealing to Justice Scalia. Do you have any insight on how, if you know, Justice Scalia was with us, that may have changed the outcome of this case, or do you think rather that he would have gone with the along with the unanimous majority?
Yeah, I mean, it's of course hard to say and entirely speculative. Justice Scalia was the court's biggest foe of vagueness in criminal statutes, and Salmon's arguments really seemed tailor-made to appeal to that line. Justice Scalia never had the chance when he was on the court to rule on a case involving TIPI liability and insider trading. The Dirks case was decided before he joined the court. It's hard to say whether those arguments would have gotten more traction. Of course, the eight justices who decided Salmon really gave them really just very, very short shrift. They brushed them off in a couple of sentences, and so even if Justice Scalia had been there and had taken a different view, which he was certainly known to do, certainly. Was content to wage battles for the minority. Even if he had done that, it's hard to imagine that the outcome of this case would have been any different.
Okay, very good, Todd. I'm going to offer a final call for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please enter star then the pound sign. Todd, there doesn't seem to be any questions at this time. Would you like to offer any additional comments or some concluding remarks?
Well, I think the one thing I'll say is that the personal benefit requirement, at least in my experience, is rarely been an issue in insider trading cases. There are a couple of cases in the SDNY where it did turn into an issue. So as a practical matter, this decision is not likely to have a huge impact in insider trading. It certainly was something that that SDNY prosecutors were concerned about with some of their cases. It'll certainly make their lives a lot easier as they develop cases. They're not going to have to, in cases that involve tipping among family members, they're not going to have to go out of their way to look for that personal benefit that Newman or that pecuniary benefit that Newman required. But the impact of this case is likely to be fairly modest in the mine run of insider trading cases.
Okay, thank you. A reminder to our audience to keep an eye out for emails announcing upcoming teleform calls. You can also consult the full schedule of our upcoming teleform calls on the Federalist Society's website, fedsoc.org. Also there are podcasts of previously recorded calls you may have missed. Todd, on behalf of the Federalist Society, I want to thank you for joining us today. We welcome listener feedback via email at info@fedsoc.org. Thank you all for joining us. We are adjourned.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this Practice Group podcast. For materials related to this podcast and other Federalist Society multimedia, please visit the Federalist Society's website at fedsoc.org/multimedia.